They say that life is a journey. It is filled with trials and tribulations and unanswered questions. My guest today has had a remarkable journey so far. He had the perfect life. He married young, had a beautiful daughter, and a great job with Merrill Lynch. But yet something was missing. He hit rock bottom in 1972. Then he had a supernatural encounter with Jesus. In 1977, he started a nationally syndicated radio show called Messianic Vision. He is also an international television star of its Supernatural Network, which can be seen in over 28 countries around the world. It is my honor and pleasure to welcome Sid Roth to the Josh Bernstein Show. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, Josh, I wish everyone listening felt as good as I feel. I'm 74 years young. I just exercised this morning, and I'm speaking to you. Life can't get any better.
Well, good. God bless you. I'm glad to have you on the show. Now, at a young age in life, you've always wanted to know what else is out there. You wrote songs about it. You've had many goals for your life, including being a millionaire by the time you were 30. You felt at the time that marrying young and having a child was holding you back from your goals, so much so that you actually left your wife and daughter. Have you reconciled with your ex-wife and daughter, and are either one of them in your life at this time?
Well, the good news is that my wife and I, Joy, I've only been married once, although we were separated when I was 29 years of age for almost a year. We've just celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary, and yes, my daughter is in my life very much so. And so that's why I say I'm a blessed man.
You certainly are, because obviously with, you know, your decision way, way back when, that was a pretty, you know, daring decision, if you will. And for someone to, you know, take you back after that shows a lot of love that they have in their heart for yourself and for Christ. I am 100% Jewish. Both my parents are Jewish. I was raised, as you were, in a traditionally Jewish household. The only distinction that I believe we have is that I believe the Messiah is still coming, as most Jews believe. However, you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, as most true Christians believe. So my question is, do you consider yourself a Messianic Jew or a New Testament Christian?
You know, words have meaning, and words' meanings change. If you had phrased the question different, you had said, Sid, what are you? This would have been my knee-jerk reaction. I would have said, I'm a Jew. What are you? However, I don't like to use the terminology Christian. Simply, I'm proud that by the name, if you study the word Christian, it means a follower of the Messiah. If you talk to me long enough, you will know I am a Christian by that definition. But today, the definition of Christian by the Jewish community is no longer Jewish, and the definition of Christian by the Christian, I mean, the definition of a Jew that turns to Jesus in the Christian community is no longer Jewish. And I have to tell you, I believe in this. I believe that a Jew is called by God to always be a Jew, just as a male is called by God to always be a male. I mean, you know, we don't change what God did.
Right, right. And I would certainly agree with that. Again, you are correct in the fact that it seems like most American Jews by that nature, they definitely look at Christianity as a completely different entity from Judaism. But myself, as a very pro-Christian Jew, I see the similarities. I see the fact that, thank God, we live in a Judeo-Christian society, a faith-based society with good morals and good values, and those are Christian Judeo morals and values. And so I think there's a lot of similarities. I don't believe there's that many differences, other than the fact that maybe Christians believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and Jews believe, you know, that the Messiah is still coming. But as far as all the other things that Jews believe, I believe Christians are also the same believers of that.
Let me give you a, and I'm in agreement with you, by by the way, but let me give you a little different spin. And that is, the word Jew comes from a Hebrew word, Yehuda, which means a worshiper, a praiser of God. I don't believe that God wanted Gentiles who believe in the Jewish Messiah based on the Jewish prophecies from the Jewish scriptures and based on the teaching of the Jewish apostles to be anything short of worshipers of God. So, in effect, may the whole world be Jewish.
Right. Well, that's an excellent point, too. You know, Sid, I normally keep my shows, and I'll be honest with you, I keep my shows mostly on the political issues and rarely veer off into the areas where I will admit that I do not have a lot of expertise in. But something strikes me about the Christian faith that maybe you can help me understand. Do you feel as I do that there is a sense of irony in regards to the Christian faith? Because the irony that I speak of is that the entire Christian faith is based on worshiping someone who is actually Jewish.
It is quite a paradox. And as a matter of fact, you and I both know, and I'm an expert in this, the most anti-Jewish or anti-Semitic people group historically has been Christians. But I have to PS that by saying if they were a Christian, they would follow the scriptures. The scriptures say, the Messiah said, you'll know my Talmudim, my disciples, by their love. So therefore, by definition of the scriptures, those that called themselves Christians and did not operate in love, not just to the Jews, but to all people, they weren't Christians. So again, semantics are very important. They were religious. Just as a Jew can go to a synagogue, that doesn't make him a Jew by definition, meaning a worshiper of God. That makes them religious. Just as a Christian can go to a church, that doesn't make them by definition a Jew, a worshiper of God, but they're religious. I want to tell you a scripture that I think is the crux of my great conviction, my great passion that the whole world be Jewish. And this is the scripture. It comes from the Gospel of John in the Wuest, W-U-E-S-T translation. This is eternal life, that you might have experiential knowledge of me. And let's face it, I meet very few Jews, very few Christians that have experiential knowledge of God. And my whole purpose in living is the whole world would be true Jews, worshipers of God, and have experiential knowledge with him. Not such a bad request, because as you know, Josh, because you're a conservative Jew, this country is not getting better.
No.
It's getting worse. The morality level, I mean, it used to be when I was in elementary school, the big sin was chewing gum. Today, I don't have to paint the picture. You know, morality's down the tube. The economy is down the tube. Every aspect of God in the last decade, I can't believe it's gone so far down. And I was reading the Jewish prophet Ezekiel this morning. And it sounds like today. It sounds like, you know, a lot of people say, well, God can cause punishment. Well, my Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof in Psalms. So therefore, I believe this is God's earth. And I believe that when man violates God's precious principles, which were put in place not to hurt us, not to restrict us, not to limit us, but to allow us to be free, when we violate that, it's as if we remove the picket fence of protection. God has more love than I have and you have and everyone listening to us put together. In fact, the New Covenant revelation is God is pure love. However, he has a limit. It's as if he has a big box and you put sins in this, which is violating his word, and it looks like he went asleep. It looks like he doesn't care. But there comes a boiling point. There comes a point where you've crossed that line. And personally, I believe America has crossed that line. And I also believe, now that's the negative, but there's something good. And that is, my purpose is not to make the whole world Jews, even though I was kind of kidding a little bit with that earlier. My purpose is not to make the whole world Christian. My purpose is to show everyone how they can have experiential knowledge with God, and then, even if judgment is poured out, as in the 91st Psalm, it said that 10,000 can come at me in my left hand, and it will not harm me. I have personally witnessed every, either witnessed it or been told about it by someone that witnessed it, every miracle that Yeshua, that's his Hebrew name. His mother wasn't even called Mary back then. Her name was Miriam. Sounds Jewish, Josh, right?
Yep.
Miriam and Yeshua. But I absolutely believe that when things happen, and in this country, it will not be because of God. It'll be because we have violated his principles in every arena. But again, the good news is, let me take you for example, Josh. You know what happened to me.
Yes.
You had an encounter where God revealed himself to you and God speaks to you. Would you be afraid of what's coming in this country? I mean, God's much bigger than what's coming in this country. That's my position. And if you have if you give me a moment, I'd like to tell people what happened to me.
Yes, please do. Please do.
All right. Just a background. Both of my parents are Jewish. I happen to have dual citizenship. I'm Israeli as well as American. I'm proud of both. I might add. I was raised in a traditional Jewish family. But when I was about 6 years old, you see, my parents were involved in sports. I come from a long line of athletes. And the particular sport that my parents were involved in was poker. And that's a joke.
I know. Jewish humor.
But it's also true.
Right.
And so I was home alone before the movie, and a question popped in my mind. And the question was, what happens when you die? Now, I have to tell you, you know, Josh, Judaism is l'chaim, to life.
Right.
We don't talk about that, you know? But so why would that pop in my head? I happen to believe God had that question pop in my head at that point. And I remember pondering, well, if I die, since no one's ever talked to me about it, that must mean I no longer exist. So as a six-year-old child, I thought to myself, well, what would it be like? And in my imagination, I was trying to figure this out, Josh. What would it be like if I no longer existed? And I have to tell you, the thought was so gross. I said to myself, how can this world get along without me? You know? So I blocked it from my mind until many, many years. And 29 years of age, stockbroker at Merrill Lynch, wonderful future assured, and I figured I married young. I didn't have the experience, the singles bars, things like that. So I did something I'm not proud of, Josh. I left my wife, I left my daughter, and I went searching for whatever happiness is. At the end of the year, I was in worse shape than before I started, but even worse than that, I violated some of God's laws, which I didn't even know. In the Torah, in Deuteronomy 18, God says if you go to fortune tellers and seances and channeling and, you know, all these things that are very common in our Jewish community, in the world, not just the Jewish community, yeah. New Age, etc., you're violating God's laws, and
you're
the consequences. Yeah, so I got involved in a New Age meditation course, and they told me how to, through exercise, to lower my speed of my brain waves. And then when I was in that passive, almost hypnotic state, they told me to invite an imaginary friend into my head. Well, in my case, something entered, and I knew that, if you get to know me, Josh, I'm extremely logical. That's my greatest asset and my greatest liability, because the invisible world, my brain doesn't have all the facts that are in the invisible world. So anyway, I took this course, and a series of events, when I'm shortening it, allowed me to see that I had something evil inside of me. I knew it was real. I knew I was perceiving information I had never put into my brain. And so, as a result of that, I wanted out. I didn't want God. I had God. I had my knees covered. I'm Jewish. Mm-hmm. But I wanted out. Some Christian friends told me that there was a greater power, and in the name of the Jewish Messiah, I didn't know Yeshua back then, neither did they. They said Jesus. I went home on the worst night of my life. Rod Serling could have not come up with the horrors I was going through in my mind, my experiences. I mean, how would you like to feel there's something evil inside of you? You don't know how to get rid of it. And candidly, most Christians I know wouldn't know how to get rid of it, and most Jews I know wouldn't know how to get rid of it. I had nowhere to go. My parents would have given their life for me. I said, Mom, Dad, I didn't do this, but if I went there, I said, Mom, Dad, I'm hearing voices. There's something evil inside of me. They'd send me to a psychiatrist.
You would have been at Bellevue.
You do know the one, the highest professions for suicide based on profession. The blind leads a blind man. We both fall into a ditch. But I didn't even go there. This is what I did. I went to a Jewish bookstore. My Christian friends all had crosses. I'm not going to have a cross. You understand, Josh. Mm-hmm. But I went out, and I'd seen some Dracula movies about holding up a silver cross. So I went to this Jewish bookstore, and I bought myself a mezuzah. It's got scripture in it. It's silver. And I figured, I'll be doing my Jewish part. So I put it around my neck. Some Christians had given me a Bible at this point. I put the Bible under my pillow. I was afraid to go to sleep at night. That I wouldn't wake up and I'd be lost in this invisible world. I mean, I reached my breaking point. I don't know if those listening can understand, but I reached my breaking point. And I cried out because my Christian friends said there's a greater power in the name of Jesus than the power that was tearing me apart. I cried out a prayer, and the prayer was this. It was two words. It wasn't a Billy Graham special. Frankly, I didn't know who Billy Graham was. It was, Jesus, help. I went to sleep, and life was so hard, I didn't want to wake up. But in the morning, I did wake up, and my room was filled. The best way I can describe this to you, Josh, it was filled with tangible, liquid love. God was in the room, and I had an instant knowing. I knew that what my Christian friends told me about Jesus was true, and I heard the voice of God for the first time in my life, and this is what he said. I hate divorce. Return to your wife and daughter. And I said, yes, sir. I was a dead man, and God gave me life. And this was, a long time ago. This was over 40 years ago. And I have to tell you, after I had that encounter, which was revelation, which I can't attempt to prove to you, nor would I even try, but it was life-changing. And as I said, I've been married now 50 years to the same woman. And which in this day and what age, Josh, is a major miracle.
That truly is a miracle. And God bless you for for coming to the light and for finding who your true self was, and sometimes it does take us to hit a certain level that is almost unspeakable, but yet something does bring us back out there, and that is, of course, is God's shining light. I want to kind of keep it on America. You know, you talked a lot in the beginning about America's reached a point of no return, and to some degree, I kind of agree with you. Lots of patriots, conservatives, Christians, just plain concerned Americans, really, they feel that our country can be saved by God's will. I believe God's strength is what built our nation. But let's face it, there are a lot of anti-God and anti-Judeo-Christian factions working in concert towards our destruction. What do you think can save this nation, and do you think God is enough?
Well, if you believe that the Torah comes from God, which I do, then you see that history keeps repeating. God blesses a people. God has, and case in point, God has blessed America. Then the people become less and less dependent on God. That's what happened to our Jewish people. That's what's happening to the people in America since we're so prosperous. Then we start violating God's laws and accepting other gods. The god in this country is called mammon, money, power, lust, all of these sins. And we've accepted another god. Then judgment comes. This is historic. This is based on history. This is based on the Torah. Then judgment comes, and then we get humble again. Now, can that judgment, which is what you and I are talking about right now, be averted? And I say yes. It can be averted if, from the White House down, the president would humble himself and accept God as God and serve God. Now, will it happen? I have to tell you, there will be a major move of God worldwide. It says in Torah that the word of the God, of the Lord will go out from Zion, meaning that in Israel, and I'm telling you this, I know this as sure as I know my name, in Israel there will be a major explosion of the Ruach HaKodesh, that's the spirit of the living God. That's what happened to me. That's what revolutionized my life. And that's going to happen in Israel, and the word of the Lord is going to go out from Zion to the four corners of the earth. Now, will it penetrate the darkness in this nation? In the natural, no. In the possibilities of God, yes. I personally believe that America is in for serious, serious judgment. And it's no longer going to be, as President Barack Obama prophesied, a Christian nation with Christian values. He didn't say the Christian values. I added that in there. But I believe there will be pockets of people that will have experiential knowledge of God. There are people that are called preppers. And I think that's wisdom to have some water and food put aside. However, what is greater wisdom, and I'll take this, you can give me all the food and all the water and all the guns in creation, and I'll take this over that any day, and that is experiential knowledge of God. If God is for you, who can be against you? So I don't know if I really answered your question, but that's the best I could, Josh.
Well, I think that you're correct, and I think that there are so many factions, especially from the global elitists, that are trying to remove God from America. They've been trying to do it for 60 to 75 years, it seems, starting in the schools and taking it out of the public square. And, you know, if you don't believe in the true God, then you'll fall for Satan and you'll fall for evil. And I think that's what's happening. We're seeing it march all across the entire world. We're seeing, you know, Christians being persecuted and slaughtered and killed. We're seeing anti-Semitism here in America and in Israel at rapid proportions that are, you know, reminiscent of 1940s Germany. And I think that a lot of this has to do with the fact that they have removed God from the schools, from you know, the public square and from our lives. And we are not a Christ and Judeo-Christian centered nation on a daily basis like we were once before, which is what gave us that strength to fight these evils.
Absolutely. And let me just point this out, which is very, very important. I had experiential knowledge of God. No man could talk me out of the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. However, I then studied Torah, and I found things in Torah that I never was told in the synagogue. I found out whoever the Messiah was, and this is all in Torah, he would be born in Bethlehem, and at the time Messiah Yeshua was born, there were three Bethlehems. And then it goes on, the prophet Micah says he'd be born in Bethlehem of Judea. That's where Jesus was born. He'd be an ancestor of King David. Yeshua was an ancestor of King David. He'd be rejected by his own people, by the Jewish people. Jesus was rejected by the Jewish people. He would be betrayed, but Zechariah says he'd be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver that would then be thrown into the temple. Judas was paid 30 pieces of silver, and he threw it into the temple. He would die. This is the big one, Josh. In Daniel 9:26, he would die, be cut off, the scripture says, and then the temple would be destroyed. Temple was destroyed in 70 AD. That means whoever the Messiah was, he had to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, rejected by his people, of the ancestry of King David, and he had to die before 70 AD. In fact, Psalm 22 is a perfect description of crucifixion before it ever existed by the Romans. And then in Psalm 22, it said they would gamble for his clothing. He just happened to have a seamless robe. They couldn't tear it apart, so they gambled for it. Psalm 16:10 says he'd arise from the dead. It's Isaiah 53:3 says the majority of the Jewish people would not recognize him, but the Gentiles in Isaiah 11:10 would follow him. And 40 years before the temple was destroyed, approximately the year 30 AD, the Talmud says the sacrifices stopped being accepted by God. Now, why did the sacrifices, the animal sacrifices, stop being accepted by God in the year 30 AD? Because we already had God. The sacrifices, God says he didn't want the animal sacrifice. They were shadows of the horribleness of... It says in Isaiah 53, I read Isaiah chapter 53 to my Orthodox Jewish father, and when I read that, he said, stop. You're reading from a New Testament. You're describing Jesus. This is what my Orthodox Jewish father said. I said, no, Dad, this is the Tanakh our Orthodox rabbi gave us. Look, see his inscription? But my father knew the truth. The truth is, Isaiah 53, I challenge anyone to read. In fact, let me read a couple paragraphs of it. Who has believed our report? In other words, who's going to believe the report of the prophets? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord is another name for Mashiach. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. He'll have no form or comeliness, and we Jewish people, we won't even desire him. He'll be despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we Jewish people will hide, as it were, our faces from him. He'll be despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. We thought God was punishing him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. You could read the rest of it. But I tell you this, Josh. If the Messiah had to come before the temple was destroyed. See, what makes sense is we're both right. When I say the Messiah has already come and came and died before the temple was destroyed, I'm right according to Torah. When you say that the Messiah, there has to be shalom on earth when he comes, you are right. And rather than one Messiah, rather than two Messiahs, how could there ever be peace if there's a Christian Messiah and a Jewish Messiah? How about one Messiah, two appearances? One's to be the final Yom Kippur, the covering for sin. And wants to come and be, see, until, that's what Jeremiah says, the Jewish prophet, behold, the days come in which I, God, will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. And the word covenant comes from the word brit, which means cutting, as if blood is flowing. A new blood covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their forefathers, which they violated, but this is the covenant. I, God, will remember their sins no more, and they will know me. That's my whole issue. I want the whole world to have experiential knowledge with God. But it says in Isaiah, your sins have separated you from God. And Josh, I can tell you as a fact, just talking to you, you're a mensch, you're a pretty good guy, but compared to the righteousness of God, all, you know, you're as a woman with unclean lips and a man with unclean lips. Because every human is that. And short of the blood of Mashiach, which atones for our sins, none of us have a chance. But the mercy of God, and it's merciful to you specifically, but to everyone that is listening specifically, because you see, if he was a man, he could only be merciful to a few people. But he's God, and his mercy extends to all people. And I tell you that your only defense, if you want to be a prepper, a true prepper, is know God for yourself. Religion and a dime won't help you at Starbucks. But knowing God is the answer. And that's my passion, Josh. You know that. Mm-hmm. You can hear it in my voice. And we talked a little before the show.
Absolutely. And you are very, very passionate, and we are almost out of time. I wanted to ask you real quick, and I this is probably not a quick question, but why is it then that the Jews believe that the Messiah is still coming, and they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah?
Because we moved off of Torah, and we moved into Rabbinic Judaism. Mm-hmm. There was good cause without the rabbis. I doubt if the Jews would have survived. So they did good. However, the Torah, the book of Leviticus 17:11 says, I've given you the blood upon the altar as atonement for your sin. And Leviticus 1 says that the blood sacrifice must be in the temple. And there is no temple. So the rabbis had to invent a new form of Judaism, not based on temple. And the form that they created eliminated the understanding of one Messiah, two appearances. Even the Talmud said there would be two Messiahs, once to die for sins, and what he'd be like Messiah Ben Joseph, and this, he would be rejected by the Jewish people, and then there would be Messiah Ben David, who would bring usher in the age of peace. The rabbis, before the Messiah came, almost had the understanding. Again, rather than two Messiahs, two appearances. I believe one Messiah, one appearance. I believe there is only one God, and he has a name, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there is only one Messiah, the Jew, Yeshua.
Well put. Can't really say much to that. Thank you once again for being with me. It's been an eye-opening experience. Just an awesome conversation. You're a very passionate man, and continue to do God's work for all of us and to help save this country, because we need lots of people just like yourself and myself and the listeners out there, because if we do not band together, then we are going to get slaughtered apart.
And I urge everyone, including you, Josh, to have intimacy with God through experiential knowledge. You've got to get rid of your sins. You can't do it. Total forgiveness, according to the Jewish prophet Jeremiah, the new covenant. Believe that Yeshua died for your sins. His blood washed them away. And then ask Yeshua to live inside of your heart. That's all you have to do. It's not that he hasn't chosen you. He has chosen you. It's that you now have to take that next step. It's called faith. That's a very Jewish thing.
Gotcha. Please tell everybody real quick where they can find you, find your TV show, your radio show, and everything that you're doing out there.
All right. Two things. You go to my webpage, which is easy, Sid Roth, SIDROTH.org. But we have a new app in which you can get 800 of my television shows downloaded free. If you just go to your app store, put my name in, Sid Roth, SIDROTH, you'll see an option called ISN or It's Supernatural Network. Take that, and you'll have in high definition on your smartphone or any smartphone in the world.
Your tyranny device. Archives. Your 21st century tyranny device is what I call it.
Well, it can be used for good or evil.
Yeah.
I want it to be used for good.
Of course, I know.
But I do wish we did have more conversation.
Yeah, I would love to have you back another time.
No, I'm talking about looking at our cell phone all the time.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. It's been a great interview. I would love to have you back again. We didn't get to cover a whole bunch of other questions that I had for you, but we'll have to do that another time. Until then, be safe, be well, God bless, and have a wonderful weekend, okay?
Thank you. You too, Josh.
All right. Take care now.
Shalom.
Shalom.